enough water coming into the river system. You can see over here where there's ladders that go down to the old water line. It's 20 feet. And the spillways, of course, are even higher than that. So this is a really a very, very serious problem that we're just seeing the top of right now. It's the top of the iceberg of this catastrophic situation on the river.
Of the 40 million residents of the region of Las Vegas, Phoenix, and Los Angeles, few are aware of the problem. But Colorado's water is vital to the Southwest, suffering from unprecedented drought. In California, the National Weather Service has studied this since the turn of the century. Mark Jackson can map the drought's progress.
These are the gradients compared to the... There's a little bit of spread there.
The drought takes many years to happen. It doesn't happen overnight. And this has been an accumulation of roughly 4 to 10 years of dry conditions. And in fact, in the last 10 years, we have only had one winter season in Southern California where we had above normal rainfall. So this has all been adding up. The deficit is tremendous right now. And this graphic shows how extensive it is through Southern California, all the way up into Central California and over the Sierra Mountains, which much of our water, as you know, comes from up in Central and Northern California, the Colorado River Basin. And both those three water supplies are critical to supplying water to Southern California.
Drought doesn't strike just anywhere. Here, agriculture represents only 2% of California's gross product, but consumes 80% of its water. We meet with a farmer who grows almonds, pistachios, and oranges, David DiPaoli.
You know, California that looks like a shoe a little bit, and kind of right in the middle along the foothills of the Sierra Nevada, we've got either we call it the Central Valley. This is also the most productive area in the world of farming, where you've got oranges and trees and row crops and vegetables and everything. And we depend on water. Otherwise, this valley would be a desert without that water.
Joanna and David grow almonds over 450 hectares. Each almond requires nearly 4 liters of water.
These are almonds that have come off our property. Everything we grow in the world, including California and Tulare County and right here at my house, everything we grow takes water. And everything, and people have to eat. So you have a choice. We have to use water to grow our crops, or you have nothing to eat. If you did some research and looked at the facts of how much water we use, can really show the effect that we're really doing this in a very efficient manner.
Intensive farming and growth are the priority here. Technology helps relieve David's conscience.
This is our weather station to check on the soil moisture. We try to save water, and this machine measures the soil moisture at several different depths of the tree roots.
David uses 750 liters per square meter to irrigate his crops, 4 times what rainfall provides.
This program and this piece of equipment is a big help for saving water and fertilizer. You know, you can water trees. Probably you can hurt trees more by watering them too much than too little. And so this tells me exactly how much moisture is at the trees and in the field.
In 2015, the Californian governor called for emergency measures to reduce water consumption by 25%. But many farms are exempt. In reality, the restrictions only affect 20% of consumption. David has kept this swimming pool, but swears he makes daily efforts to save water.
You can see here in my backyard, over the summer, we've watered a small area, but then on the other side, over here on the other side of the yard, we've let go about over three-fourths of our water that we're not even watering the yard anymore. We've had several bushes die in the yard, and we're just doing our share to conserve water.
Drought is nothing new here. Meteorologists remind us that before intensive farming, the Southwest had been affected by great droughts with lesser consequences. Can technology help the area through this crisis? Some farmers think so.
Thankfully, the way the leaf is reflects near-infrared light, there is an algorithm where they look at natural light and near-infrared light and compare the differences, and there's different algorithms to figure these types of things out. We can take for example, by looking at a pigmentation of the plant, it tells you stories about the chlorophyll content of the plant. And again, these are things that the human eye can't see, but of course we can, and we can see them before anybody else.
This is known as precision agriculture. It enables targeted use of components, water, fertilizer, pesticides, irrigation.
We're going to continue to have water problems, and there's a lot of farmers are being forced to either pull their crops or change them to different types of crops that require less water. So I think it's going to be an ongoing problem, especially for the small farmer.
Our opinion's changing. David is not uprooting olive trees to save water, but because almonds are more profitable. California grows 99% of almonds in the USA. Drill towers are now part of the Central Valley landscape. The water table level has dropped dramatically. The area has been dipping into it for decades. Water levels are dropping so fast that drill companies have trouble keeping up.
With like a one-year waiting list just to get their well drilled, we're backlogged over a year now with other people waiting on the wells. And we had drilled a well here for this guy here, and it only put out like 200 gallons a minute, so we had to come back and go. We was out about 500 foot last time, so we're coming down to 1,200 on this one to get the water.
The water table level has dropped by up to 30 meters. Drilling wells is a short-term strategy. It's like pushing a straw deeper into a glass being drained. Seawater desalination plants are the new hope. The largest is being built near the Pacific, near San Diego.
We're not going to have to water, are we?
No, not with the rains keep coming. Yeah.
For decades, we relied on Northern California and the Colorado River for nearly all of our water. The old paradigm has given way to an exciting new world in which the nation's largest, most technologically advanced and energy-efficient seawater desalination plant is producing 50 million gallons of locally controlled, drought-proof water each and every day, enough water to serve approximately 400,000 people.
You've got to remember, from here to the Pacific Ocean is by car 2.5 hours. So to move all that desalinated water 200 miles, it would cost the farmers all their profit for water. Well, we might as well not be in the business of farming.
Farm product sales in the Golden State add up to $40 billion a year. Irrigation makes it possible. David has only 10 full-time employees. In some seasons, he employs hundreds of day laborers, some from Mexico. Californians aren't dying of thirst, but in areas like Porterville, 100 homes already rely on drinkable water donations. Water shortage is also a socioeconomic issue. This is a drought resource center. 35,000 people use it. Their wells dried up months ago.
Wells are completely dry, and we have no water at all now. And this is a blessing for us, because otherwise we'd be drinking out of the water hose, you know, so. And then we don't even have water in the water hose, so that defeats the purpose. Most of the water here in Porterville has gone dry. And even if we got a lake right here, the wells were dug shallow. And so now they got to dig deeper. And that's what's going to cost about $25,000 to do ours. So.
You have a tank at home?
Huh?
Do you have a tank now at home?
No. Well, no, we had a well, but it's not deep enough. They have to dig it deeper. And so the city people, that's different. But when we live out in the country, there's no water out there. So that's a bad thing for us.
The county installs potable water tanks in homes. And so these tanks are actually connected to the home's plumbing, and potable water is able to finally go through those pipes once again and then come out of the faucet so people can cook with this water, they can shower with it, they can drink it. It's water that they can use for all purposes. And for some of the residents in our area, it's the first time they've had running water in their homes for quite a few years.
No more running water. It seems impossible in a rich state like California. The National Weather Service claims drought will worsen in the coming years.
It's a scary situation. It's likely that we'll see more records broken as we move forward with the warming. And that warming brings changes to our weather. It brings changes, of course, to our climate. One of the changes is that we will likely see hotter days, long hot spells, warmer nights, and along with that comes the likelihood that we'll see even more severe droughts than what we're seeing right now. If we don't manage our water properly, if we don't adapt to what's happening now, and if governments don't come together to try to do the best they can to curb the warming that's occurring, because warming has occurred. There's no question about it. Man is partly responsible for that warming. So we have to take actions to try to slow that warming down. And or over a long term, it could be highly disastrous.
The Golden State has 40,000 residents. But the ideal of growth at any cost dominates everywhere. But in the long term, California will have to do more than limit water consumption. It will also have to regulate its distribution. David does not want change. He just replaces olive trees with almond trees.
How do they look?
Do you see the buds? These trees have been planted a month now. And look how solid they are in the ground. In another 2 or 3 weeks, they'll be bloomed out and you'll start to see the new growth. I guess the problem that we have, where are we going to be in 5 years without any water?
In the past, Californian droughts lasted up to 20 years. This could be a state of what permanent drought would be like and the end of growth at any cost.
علم فقه از علوم شریفه اسلامی است.
فقه or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked as
The holy prophet of Islam is the example
of
Self-purification is the most significant factor.
امامت یک اصل زنده است در تاریخ اسلام.
Imamate is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, welcome to another episode of Ulama's Speech in this holy month of Ramadan. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Ali. Stay tuned.
انما فرض الله شهر رمضان علی الانبیاء دون الامم.
Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam in a beautiful hadith states, Allah has made fasting obligatory for his past prophets and not nations. Indeed, Allah did a favor to the nation of the last religion, namely Islam, to make fasting obligatory for both its prophets and followers. Therefore, the very general act of fasting is among the greatest spiritual deeds which was done by prophets of Allah during history. It is, of course, the first level of fasting. In another level, we have special fasting. In special fasting, not only a person is hungry and thirsty, but also has control over his tongue, ears, and eyes.
امام صادق علیه السلام فرمود که اذا صمته وقتی روزه گرفتی فلیصم.
In this regard, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam states, when one fasts, it is as if his eyes, ears, tongue, and even hair are fasting. Now the question is how the hair can fast. The answer is by not flirting or showing off, especially when a lady is fasting. This way, your fasting might be different from the general one you used to do. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Ulama's Speech in this holy month of Ramadan, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Ali. To find out more about this program, log on to our website www.parstoday.com, Call of Islam page. We'll leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
This is A to Z. An Introduction to Islamic Lifestyle. Today's lesson: the holy month of Quran and Du'as. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Beneficent, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum. Peace and blessings of Allah be upon you all. This is A to Z, coming to you from IRIB English Radio, and I'm your host, Ali. The month of Ramadan is also the month of Quran and prayers, du'as. Almighty Allah says, the month of Ramadan is that in which the Quran was revealed as a guidance for people and as clear proofs of the guidance and as means of separating the right from the wrong. This is chapter 2, verse 185. Muslims are encouraged to read the Quran at all times, but during the month of Ramadan, the Quran recitation becomes much more focused. And we have all seen those scenes throughout the world. The holy month of Ramadan comes, and even those who are not so keen in reciting Quran throughout the year, they feel compelled, their hearts open up to this guidance of Allah, the book that guides us towards our eternal felicity and felicitation, right? So Quran becomes very famous and popular throughout this month of Ramadan, where even the youth and the kids are reciting more Quran than they would do throughout the year. Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam, the fifth infallible and immaculate Imam, said, "Everything has a spring season for itself, and the spring season for the Quran is the month of Ramadan." See how beautifully Imam has depicted that this is where Quran blossoms in the society. Quran becomes dominant in the society, in the hearts of the people, on the tongues of the people. Every opportunity that every single of the Muslims they find, they try to open up Quran and read, you know, a few verses or a few pages or a chapter. And how many of the people you and I know who complete Quran in the holy month of Ramadan? This is beautiful. The holy Quran is divided into 30 equal parts, which are known as juz. This division has been done so that a Muslim may be able to complete the recitation of the entire Quran during the 30 days of the month of Ramadan. This is why it is said that the holy Quran is the most read book in the world. Welcome back to your listeners. Today we are discussing the holy month of Quran and Du'as, that is, the holy month of Ramadan. Mosques and Islamic centers organize special programs for the recitation of the holy Quran. They sit in circles, and by rotation, each person recites certain verses or pages of the holy Quran, while others follow the reciter. The month of Ramadan is also the month of dua, supplication, praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the same section dealing with fasting, Almighty Allah says, "When my servants ask you concerning me, then say, I am indeed very close to them. I answered the prayer of one who prays when he calls on me. This is chapter 2, verse number 186. Although Muslims pray and do dua on a daily basis throughout the year, it's a very common phenomenon. But their prayers and du'as increase during the month of Ramadan. The Shia Muslim centers around the world organize special prayers during the Ramadan nights with the ritual and special prayers like Dua Iftitah and Dua Kumail, as taught by Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, the commander of the faithful. So brothers and sisters, in this month, you know, while you do many good actions in this blessed month, try to read as much Quran as you can and try to supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as you can. There are beautiful du'as prescribed to us by the Imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam, especially Imam Sajjad, the fourth divinely appointed Imam alayhi salam. So pick up Sahifatul Sajjadiyah and try to look for the section where the du'as, special recommended du'as, are mentioned for believers to recite during the holy and blessed month of Ramadan. And inshallah, the ma'arif and the meaning of those du'as, you will find them to be very profound. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, thank you very much for staying with us till the end of today's episode of A to Z. Don't forget to log on to our website at parstoday.com, Call of Islam page. We leave you all in the care of Allah. Till next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
In the limelight.
Findings show that before the advent of Omicron, vaccination benefited even those who had had a bout of COVID-19. Stay with us for an article in this regard written by Saima May Sadiq, writer. This article is published under the heading COVID vaccine plus infection can lead to month of immunity. Here's more. Even people who have had COVID-19 receive long-lasting benefits from a full course of vaccination, according to three recent studies. What's more, one of the studies found that the hybrid immunity caused by vaccination and infection is long-lasting, conferring highly effective protection against symptomatic disease for at least 6 to 8 months after vaccination. The data were collected before the Omicron variant emerged, casting some doubt on the study's relevance today. But if the findings hold up, they could inform vaccination schemes and vaccine passports, which some countries require for entry to places such as restaurants. The work also counters high-profile claims that people who have had COVID-19 don't benefit from vaccination. Does such a claim help to launch some of the research? Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro said that he already had COVID-19, and for this reason, it is not necessary to take a vaccination, says Julio Croda, an infectious disease doctor and epidemiologist at the Oswaldo Cruz Foundation in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Croda and his colleagues drew on Brazilian vaccination and infection databases to test such assertions. The researchers found that between February 2020 and November 2021, people who had previously been infected with SARS-CoV-2 and then received one vaccine dose avoided as many as 45% of the COVID-19 cases that the group would have been expected to contract without vaccination. Full courses of the two-dose vaccines prevented as many as 65% of expected infections and more than 80% of expected cases of severe COVID-19. Croda said the big message is this: you need to have a full vaccination scheme for COVID-19. Some authorities consider previous infections when deciding who should have entry to public places, such as concerts and restaurants, but others consider only vaccination status. Peter Nordstrom, an epidemiologist at Umeå University in Sweden, says this dichotomy prompted him and his colleagues to perform another of the studies. Using records collected by the Public Health Agency of Sweden between March 2020 and October 2021, the researchers showed that Swedish residents who had been infected with SARS-CoV-2 had a 95% reduction in the risk of contracting COVID-19 compared with people who had no immunity. And protection grew over the 3 months following infection and lasted until at least 20 months after infection. One dose of vaccine reduced the risk of infection by about an additional 50%, and a second dose stabilized the additional protection over the 6 months following vaccination. Although vaccination increases protection, Nordstrom thinks the immunity offered by infection alone is worthy of consideration. Perhaps we should have immunity passports instead of vaccination passports, so you are considered immune and less likely to transmit the disease if you have been fully vaccinated or you have had a documented previous infection, he says. Epidemiologist Victoria Hall at the UK Health Security Agency in London and her colleagues performed the third study by tracking infections in thousands of healthcare workers from March 2020 to September 2021. The researchers found that previous infections prevented more than 80% of the COVID-19 cases that otherwise would have been expected in the year after infection. But protection waned to around 70% after a year. Study participants who received two doses of the vaccine after an infection had nearly 100% protection for at least 6 to 8 months following the second dose. Protection declined over time after vaccination and also after infection, but remained persistently high in those with hybrid immunity, Hall wrote in an email to Nature. Miguel Hernan, an epidemiologist at Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health in Boston, Massachusetts, says the studies show the near-universal benefit of full vaccination. Some nations have issued guidelines that encourage people who have had COVID-19 to receive only a single vaccine dose, a move that may be justified in a setting of vaccine scarcity, but not otherwise, Hernan wrote in an email to the Nature.
If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say,
I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way? All covered up in a world that gives it all away. Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Dini al-Islam, dini wal-Azam, ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We're going to talk about, in fact, some of the rules related to fasting and Ramadan, since we are in the month of mercy, in the month of barakah, and in the month of Ramadan. So we're going to deal with this, in fact, according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that. SubhanAllah.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And our guest speaker, as always, Sheikh Javid. We are talking about some of the Islamic laws issued by Ayatollah Khamenei related to the month of Ramadan. Well, Sheikh Javid, what rule applies to individuals who immerse themselves in water wearing waterproof clothing, such as a diving suit, which does not allow the body to become wet? And how about swimmers?
You're right. According to Ayatollah Khamenei, you know, if the clothing has close contact with his head, it is problematic to say his fast is valid. So, you know, there is some kind of ishkal or some kind of objection to his fast. And as an obligatory precaution, it is necessary for that individual to perform it is qada. So this is the standpoint of Grand Ayatollah Khamenei. Even if a person wears a swimsuit, he cannot fast, he cannot immerse underwater. Okay, if a person stands in the water with head visible, with head out of water,
yes,
there's no objection, because no one from the religious authorities say that of swimming per se is forbidden. Okay, no one says. As long as you keep your head out of water, there's no problem, your fast is not affected.
What about the other way around? The body is out, only a person dips his head into the water.
That's not permissible. Because what is important and what is necessary is to keep your head out of water. This is one.
I see.
And I should reiterate here that Ayatollah Sistani's fatwa differs from Grand Ayatollah Khamenei's opinion or fatwa in this regard, because many other religious, and I should say that actually the religious authorities are divided in this issue. Ayatollah Sistani says that immersion underwater, or let's say submerging your head underwater, does not make your fast void. So it is permissible to dive underwater, to go fishing, snorkeling, or whatever you would like to do. It's permissible. No matter whether you're wearing a swimsuit covering your head or not, so your fast will not be affected. But that's not the opinion held by Grand Ayatollah Khamenei. He says that if there's the clothing or the waterproof clothing covers your head and it's in contact with your head, then the qada, then it is a matter of objection. The fast becomes problematic, and then as a measure of obligatory precaution, it becomes necessary for you to observe the qada.
I see. Only the qada, not the kafara.
There's no kafara, yes.
I see. And what about, lifesavers, in fact, who are working on the beaches, we know that as a Muslim, for example, living in the West, and this is your job, and jobs are not easy to find. So you're working as one of those people, in fact, working on the beach, or happen to work, in fact, as a lifesaver and then you need to swim. To save a person, a drowning person in the sea. So what happens to their fasting then?
The same fatwa applies to the same individual, because his fast becomes void because he has to dive underwater. Maybe if he keeps his head out of water, his fast is not affected. His fast remains, there. He will not have to, because his fast is not broken in that case. But if he dives underwater, then according to Ayatollah Khamenei, of course, his fast becomes void.
And how much of the head should not be, in fact, in the water, or should be above the water?
So the head, when we talk about the head, we mean the chin of, from the neck up, the head.
From the neck up.
Yeah, from the neck up. Yeah.
Obviously, in swimming, in that case, the previous question that I asked you, or the latest, then the swimmer, in fact, gets some part of his head in the water.
And what is important is that the head should be wholly and completely covered by water. When we talk of submersion or immersion in water, it means that no part of the head remains out of water. So it's otherwise it's not called immersion underwater. Uh-huh. Yes.
I see. Okay. Thank you very much. Let's take a short break and we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws, on RIB English Radio. Don't go away.
La ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the Islamic laws related to the month of Ramadan and fasting according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javid, is it permitted for a person, or problematic for that individual, to travel intentionally, like about 8 farsakh or 44 kilometers, in just to make the fast, in fact, void, or during the month of Ramadan, in order to break the fast and evade fasting?
You're right. You know, this is a good question. Many people would like to know whether it's permissible to travel in the month of Ramadan, of course, because some may deem consider it as kind of, you know, disregard to the month of Ramadan. But, you know, as far as I know, all the religious authorities do permit traveling in the month of Ramadan, no matter what reason, what reason you travel for.
Yes.
You know, it is permissible to travel in the month of Ramadan, but obviously it's better not to travel if you do not have an important reason to travel, you know.
Yes.
It's much better to stay home and observe fast, and of course, because fasting in the month of Ramadan has a special virtue, special barakah and blessing, and of course, as far as possible, it's better for an individual to stay home and observe fast. But okay, if a person wishes to travel, there is no objection to him. He can travel, and of course, as a traveler, he cannot observe fast.
Mm-hmm. But is it reprehensible if he does it intentionally or on purpose?
If his intention is to, you know, evade fasting,
yes,
obviously it is reprehensible,
uh-huh,
because he's just trying to evade fasting.
And later he has to perform the qada. Yeah,
there's no kafara, but of course he has to observe the qada.
Uh-huh, I see. Okay. And another question would be related to the qada fast or due on a person or individual. Can the same individual, in fact, make the intention of a recommended fast while he has some of the qada fast on him?
Very good. There is no disagreement, and the Shia scholars are all agreed that a person who has qada fast due on him cannot make niyyah of mustahab fast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and for example, let's say in the month of Sha'ban or in the month of Rajab,
yes,
it's highly recommended to fast in these 2 months. You know. You have your qada fast pending still. You are,
yes,
supposed to give the qada of those fast, and you want to perform mustahab fast. You cannot do so.
Mm-hmm.
You must give the qada of the wajib fast,
yes,
first, and then if you want to, you can observe mustahab fast. But this is not the case with prayer. If you have qada prayers, you can still perform mustahab prayers.
I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid, for your nice answers to the questions related to the month of Ramadan and fasting, in fact, for this program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
La ilaha illa hu.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.